This is the Car Wash on Sokola Duma Radio. Sizohlangana khona.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Car Wash. I'm your host, Slu Paho, but I'm never alone. In studio, I have got Mr. Sean Roberts himself. How are you doing today?
Slu Dog, 100%. Thank you, my boy. How are you?
I'm all good, all good.
Magic.
And we also have the general himself, Teko Modise. How are you doing today,
Mr.
my brother?
Slu, how are you, sir?
I'm chill, chilled. And
do you still have your phone?
I have a phone.
Okay.
Long story, hey, Slu.
Long story, man. Hey, for another time. But let's dive right on in. Soweto Derby last weekend.
Yo, it had everything that we could possibly win. Red cards, swearing, goals, mistakes. George Manuleka nutmegging the linesman. Did you see that?
Corner kick. The corner flag, actually. I saw him.
No, it was great. I mean, it's all derbies is what you expect and what you want.
So many talking points. I wanted to ask about the Katande tackle that everybody's talking about, kind of high.
Didn't touch him.
Yeah. he got just the ball, right?
Just the ball there. Yeah, no, that was, what do you say? I mean, that's a career ender, you know?
Yeah.
Should have been red, wasn't, got lucky. Stayed in the park, had a good game, and led his team to victory.
Yeah.
Lucky him.
Yeah.
Do you think that these referees seem to be scared of handing out red cards these days? Because we've had this discussion so many times this season already.
You know, I just wish that one day we can have a referee in here to try and explain all these type of things. I mean, this type of decisions as well. Because for me, I was doing the game. And when you look at the incident in slow-mo, it looks very, very dangerous. And the referees will tell you, like, any dangerous tackle needs a punishment, you know. And he went over the shins. He was on the knee. That's it. Like Sean has said, I think it was supposed to be a red card. But then again, it's a derby. It's a big game. The pressure also on the referees, you know, to make the right decisions as well. So I think at the time, he was supposed to get a red card. Because after that, Makaringa was never the same.
No.
He played differently from that. And I remember telling Carol, as I was doing the game with her, I was like, Makaringa will never last the whole game. Because I know once you get cold from that injury, the pain starts down. Because I think he was still a little bit warped.
Kudos to him for getting back up.
I mean, I never thought that he would get up, actually. But it was a very, very dangerous tackle. And I know that Katsande felt like with that, you know, there's going to be a red card. But I was surprised, actually, to see Katsande still playing after that tackle.
Yeah, and I saw you on Instagram after the game. I think you said something along the lines of, what did you say? You said, after these games, usually you can say the better team won. Can we say that about this match? Did you think that Chiefs deserved the victory, or did you think that Pirates were unlucky?
Ooh la la.
Big question for a big dog.
Honestly, I feel like it was a game of two halves where Kaizer Chiefs dominated the first half. You know, Pirates, especially with the silly mistake that they did, considering that goal, and they struggled to come back from that. And Chiefs dominated because, you know, Chiefs is very smart the way they play these days. They sacrifice a possession so that you open up for a counter, then they're quick going forward. And that's what they were doing to Pirates in the first half. You're using Lebo Manyama on the right. So he was very, very effective for them. Then come second half, with the changes that Orlando Pirates did, they started looking very, very effective. Mango became a factor in the second half. And you could see that I think they hit the post three times, or if not so. And there was that last chance that they could have equalized with Mabasa. So you could see that Orlando Pirates actually felt like, you know, they could have won the game, especially in the last minute, or equalized, you know. And that's why I've never heard anybody after that game from Orlando Pirates side saying the team actually played bad. You know, everybody's speaking about something else, but nobody speaks about the results, which means it was a good game overall. And I think everybody that paid the money to go and watch the game, it was worth
it. Satisfied,
we're satisfied actually watching that game. And you could see after, when Kaizer Chiefs was celebrating, they were celebrating like they won the league. And for that to happen, you need to understand that they knew that, you know, it's a game that they could have lost. So for them, it means so much to them actually to come out and win that game the way that they did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you put it down to individual errors. I mean, Lorch's missed header. I mean, Man, that should have been buried, eh? You're 5 yards out. True. You're hitting the ball on the top of your head for some God knows reason. I don't know what.
But he's not ahead of the ball, though.
But you're playing one of the biggest teams in Africa. You got to know how to head the ball.
Yeah.
Did I struggle heading the ball my life?
You did, eh?
I had one goal with the head and I actually hit on top of my head and my eyes were closed. It was against Ajax. So I know, because you never get in those positions to actually be receiving a cross.
But you were, right? And so was he.
Yeah.
And you got to be prepared for that.
Of course,
you know,
of course.
They say lucky or luck is when preparation meets opportunity. You got to be prepared when this opportunity arises, just like it did for Lorch, like it did for you. Yeah. And you got lucky.
I got lucky, yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to anticipate these things. You know, they should study the tape of Nyauza's header because, you know, that's timing, you know, proper good timing. But anyway, I wanted to ask about that, Sean. Like, as a goalkeeper, walk me through that, you know, that moment of a defender trying to head back to you, the miscommunication there. What do you think happened with Sadio?
Yeah, look, I mean, in my opinion, I think Wayne would agree with me that, you know, he was positioned wrong. He shouldn't have nowhere been where he was. I mean, there was no danger. If he just sort of stayed in his 6-yard line and the player could have headed back to him, not a problem. But he was caught in no man's land. Unfortunately for him, you know, he's 45 seconds in. It's as a goalkeeper in a game like that, that's tough to come back from. And he did well the rest of the game. Made a very good double save in the second half.
Yeah.
I play again at fault for Pule's goal near post. Man, and I don't know if anyone else picked up, but he had those two shortest people on the field in his wall.
And the funny part was when
it's beyond me.
Yeah, and when before the free kick was taken, right? The camera was on Lodge and Pule.
Right.
I could see Lodge telling Pule that you can actually score on the first post.
Really?
And because also you can see also with the positioning, the Pule, the way he was positioned, he wasn't positioning himself to actually cross the ball. But then I don't understand how Akpai moved one step in first, and then the ball went through because it was so much power.
He puts Billiat as the second one, and puts Frasla as the first one. It's beyond me.
Yeah,
it's completely beyond me.
To be beaten at near post at that angle is almost unheard of. I mean,
look, you know, take nothing away from Pule. It was a great free kick.
Fantastic.
He saw an opportunity and he put it in.
Yeah.
I think Daniel could have done a lot better. I think his positioning was wrong. He was expecting a cross. Yeah. And you've got to have two big boys, or at least one big boy.
At least one.
Or three in the wall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, from that point of view, you got lucky again. Chiefs took their chances.
Yeah, and I think also when organizing the wall, I'm not a goalkeeper, but I was a free kick taker myself. When organizing your wall, you need to make it difficult for the person that kicks. If maybe I want to put it over, it needs to be very difficult because the person that is actually on the wall is a little bit taller. So now it forces me to kick differently.
Mm.
But with Pule, he had to take a chance, even though maybe he would have scored or like he scored or he would have missed. But if I was him in that position looking at the wall, I was going to take a chance. And he did. It was in the back of the net.
Yeah. And actually, in the build up to that goal, a lot of Chiefs fans brought this up whenever people were saying that they benefited from referee decisions, particularly with Katsande and all of that. Cardoso's challenge, do you think that that's a foul? Or do you think that he got the ball fair and square there?
There was no foul there.
Because it seemed to me as though he got a good piece of the ball and it was a fair.
There was no foul there. There mustn't come with stories. There was no foul there.
That was beyond horrific of a decision. It was shocking. Yeah. But I think the linesman gave it, hey?
Yeah, I think the linesman gave it.
The linesman gave it, yeah. No, yeah. It was too shocking.
Far. Yeah.
No way is a goal. I mean, no way is a free kick.
Yeah, and then towards the end there with Bernard Parker's
penalty.
Was it a dive or was it contact?
No, for sure a penalty.
No, there was contact. Listen, if the referee...
Parker did very well.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. If I was Parker in that position, I'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
The thing is that the referee will tell you that if there's a contact... Whether you kick the ball first or whatever, if there's a contact, and then you could see also the ball didn't change in any direction.
Yeah. Mm.
So therefore, it was in Bernard Parker's favor. So he made a tackle, whether he touched him or not. But if the referee suspect that there's a contact, it's gonna blow. But he was at the back. So now when they played in slow mo, we saw that there was a contact.
Yeah.
So there was a penalty.
Good decision.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was a good decision.
And again, Daniel Cardoso stepping up.
Wow.
My man. And we
balls
said
of steel,
I think we said it last week. Eh? Big match temperament. Yeah. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Especially well after such a frustrating game, you know, you saw his reaction to the free kick that was given against him.
So many free kicks were given against him.
Yeah.
So many. He was frustrated. I remember him kicking the balls away. He was very, very frustrated. And at some point, I felt like he was going to get a red card because of the reactions that he was always giving whenever there was a foul blown against him.
But he stayed disciplined, didn't he?
He stayed disciplined, my friend. Like for him to do that and come back and score that penalty, even though it was risky, he just put it straight.
Yeah.
But he believed in his ability, you know, and for him to actually come back and do that, he needs to be commended. You know, not many players, especially in that big game, emotions are very, very high. And people normally gets yellow card for reacting or maybe making fouls. And you see players actually that are not technically, they will tackle in those kind of big games because the emotions are very high. But for him to be mentally strong and stay disciplined the way that he did, I mean, also with Katsandes, well, after making that foul, he never actually went on and started kicking
players. He sort of made his presence felt and then sort of said, okay, next to me, you know what's going to happen.
And
did his job well.
Definitely. So I think we can get into Rulani's comments. He was upset after the game, but also spoke in the post-match conference next to Middendorp. We have some audio there.
But I hear Coach Middendorp saying he doesn't know what happened with the red card. I watched it again, and I think it's not just Mato that should have been sent off. It's real faggish behavior. It doesn't belong on the pitch. It's very, very bad football. And it starts with things like Even with Katsandes' tackle on Fortune Makaringa in the first half, over the top, career-threatening tackle, and faggish as well, you know. Those are some of the situations, and those are the situations that I'm talking about. And those things don't belong in South African football. No. Shouldn't be condoned, and we should not accept such things. So. I've got a player bleeding now with a broken nose because he was punched in the face. Kaiser Chiefs is good enough to beat us on tactics, on personnel, well-coached team, excellent. But not on diving, you know, diving inside with Parker, excellent dive. Not on faggish tackles, not on boxing. No, on boxing, we don't train boxing.
Come on, man.
Rulani.
Come on, man. But we spoke about this the other night. You said something quite profound. You said what Rulani is doing there is very, very clever. He's taken all the attention away from the Pirates players and brought it all onto himself.
Yeah. I mean, when he was doing the post-match interview on the pitch, you know, I could hear him clearly because I was wearing the earpiece. Like, he was very angry and very frustrated.
Mm.
And I just listened and listened. Once he was done, it actually hit me, like, this guy is very smart.
Mm.
Even though he was very emotional about it, but nobody actually spoke about how Orlando Pirates played. After that, everybody was speaking about how Rulani reacted and all that stuff. So he took all the pressure away from Orlando Pirates players. He brought it to himself. Because on a normal day, if he didn't react that way, they were going to ask him about the opportunities. Do you think Orlando Pirates losing back-to-back to Kaizer Chiefs? Nobody asked him that. So everybody focused on that. Yeah. And
is your
and,
job safe?
Yeah, those kind of questions. Yeah. So for this, even though I know that he was very frustrated, for me, I like to see that when the coach is frustrated, take out your frustrations. You know, be free, speak about it. And for the fact that he took responsibility by, you know, drifting attention away from the players to him, he was very, very smart. And those are the kind of things that many people in South African football don't realize. Mourinho used to do that very well.
Mm.
You know, even Pep sometimes does that. Klopp always does that.
Yeah.
And it's very, very smart coaching. And for him to do that, I really, 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 really appreciate that he did that, you know, taking the pressure away from Orlando Pirates players.
Definitely. And I mean, you know, strong comments, particularly with the diving, you know, we don't coach boxing over here.
Yeah,
he actually continued along that train of thought in more interviews. He said in the off season, now the international break, that they'll still be training hard. They won't be doing extra murals like swimming and all of that training stuff.
But who's he saying like got a broken nose?
That's
Mabaso. He was slapped.
Yeah, those pushes, those, like, you know, I don't remember anybody punching anybody. You know?
Did Matar Desserts get sent off? Yes, of course he did.
Of course.
It's a red card. But, you know, Mirkovic as well should have got sent off.
Of course.
You know, there's a few players that should have got sent off.
Yeah. But I don't remember seeing anybody being punched. Once, what I know is, like, I saw Matar shoving player that went down.
Mm-hmm.
But to see anybody being punched, no. But I think also Nukovic could have got punished more than the way that he did.
Big time.
Because he was actually insinuating all the things. Because he was going in, and when people were trying to break it off, he was still going in, and that's unsporting behavior.
Yeah.
But then again, come back, like, if that happened maybe against AmaZulu, I'm sure, or not even AmaZulu, but a smaller, a little bit team, maybe punishment will be a little bit different. But now it's a big game, Kaizer Chiefs, 5 minutes to go into, you know, it's sometimes you human being as a referee, you're thinking, can I send two players out for Kaizer Chiefs as a red card? It's a problem.
Yeah, I saw the way the referee handled it was actually pretty impressive, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of put the guys in the naughty corner.
Yeah, for them, sort of, like, you. Here's a card.
That was pretty impressive. Yeah. He could have lost control of that very
well. Of course.
So.
And then, you know, Coach Rulani, the one question is that a lot of fans had is he picking and choosing certain things to talk about just to make Chiefs look worse? Because everyone was like, oh, what about Lorch in the Telkom knockout match?
Mm.
You know, that challenge where kind of steps on Biliat, you know, grabs him by the neck a little bit. Mm. You know, he didn't have any comments there. And so is he feeding into this narrative of Chiefs benefit, like benefits FC? Is he feeding into that? Or do you think that there were more cases in this match in the PSL than in the Telkom knockouts?
Ooh, it's a big question, hey?
I think for me is... He needs to defend his team and his players at all time. He's their coach, and he has to do what he has to do, right? And he shouldn't be judged on based on what he does or what he says, actually, because it's his job. And I'm sure the players as well, it's their job also to protect the coach at all time. And for him, is he felt injustice of the game because of situations, and also he was very emotional. You might understand that some of the guys, when we comment about stuff, we comment about stuff that we actually watch on TV. When you're there live on the pitch, there's no replay, there's nothing. So whatever you see, you end up making a decision based on that. So after all seeing those tackles just in front of him, he actually felt that, you know, there's injustice here. The referee maybe didn't handle the game very well. Certain players could have went out. But those guys, people that will come back and say, but did he say this? Did he say that? Did he look at this? You watching from your couch is different from when you're on the pitch. So I think Rulani needs to say whatever that needs to say. So is other coaches. When they're given an opportunity to say, let them say it. Just because it was a derby, it makes no difference. If somebody needs to get sent off, he needs to get sent off, whether the derby or not. If he feels like his players were punched, they were kicked out of the pitch, he needs to say that. But then again, what's the strategy that Mudendorf came with? Because he was also fighting the fact that Mudendorf was encouraging his players to kick Orlando Pirates players. Mm. If it works, it works. Yes, it's unsporting behavior. We shouldn't condone that. But it works now.
It's also one of the biggest games in the world.
Yeah. Then you come back and say you need to win at all costs. What is all cost? Because coaches will say that we need to win this game at all costs. Is that one of the things that we can say it's all cost when Mourinho wanted to win the game? But then again, you must understand that sometimes I've been coached by coaches who say, if you kick them a little bit, they'll be scared to play.
Mm.
Maybe that's what Mourinho said. He said, kick Pirates a little bit, you know, be aggressive a little bit.
Remember, the game's changed over the years, Teko. You go back 15, 20 years. You used to come back with stud marks on your face and broken toes.
Blood is not new in football. So it was accepted
back then. The game has just changed so drastically. You touch someone now, they fall on the floor and it feels like the world's ending, you know?
Yeah.
But what interesting he did say in the post-match interview as well, he just said that this time last season, they were 10 games in with 16 points.
Mm.
And now they're 10 games in with 13 points. So he said there's not much of a drastic change.
Yeah.
Obviously, with what's happening, you know, with him being the new coach, et cetera, that there's a bit more pressure added to him.
Definitely. And Chiefs' form is also a big question. You know, 6 PSL matches in a row now won. They are now 10 points clear of Sundowns. And speaking of Sundowns, that loss to Golden Arrows, we can get into.
Sure.
What a difficult match to watch.
True.
Yeah, and difficult to play. I'm sure, Teko, you've played lots of games like that. A lot of our games in Durban we played were like that. Just you couldn't really stick to any sort of game plan with the weather.
Yeah.
And as we saw, the highlight from Dennis Onyango as well, which was just horrible to watch. But it happens, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It really does. And that sort of was the turning point in the game for me, I think.
Yeah, I think that was. I think that's one goal that actually brought Arrows back into the game. And with Arrows, I think the way also they played, they just stuck to their game plan. You know, with Mamelodi Sundowns being Mamelodi Sundowns, they always go out to win games. They always go out to kill games.
Mm.
And then now they got caught, especially with the last goal. Well, Langamani misjudged the ball, and then it went to Who's the boy that scored?
Mutiza.
Yeah. Mutiza just tapped it in. Yeah. And Mutiza should have actually had a hat-trick or brace somewhere there.
Scored the penalty as well.
Could have had a hat-trick as well. So, but it just that it's one of those things. When Mamelodi Sundowns plays an open game. So now if you're not respecting them that way, you actually have a chance to win the game. But most of the teams, when they play Mamelodi Sundowns, they sit back, they absorb the pressure.
Yeah.
They'll forever come. Yeah. But now when they come at you, you go at them. You always find holes.
Correct.
Because they always have their fullbacks way up. You always find spaces to play, but most teams are scared to play that way because they're playing Mamelodi Sundowns. And you could see with Golden Arrows, they went also there to try and win the game at all costs, and they stuck to their game plan. And also, I remember when Steve said after the game that he said he changed only one. He had one sub that he changed, and he saw that it's if it's not broken, don't fix it. Mm. So his players were playing well, so he was actually felt like he could come back and actually try and win the game.
Right.
And that's what the team did. Yeah. And of course, with Peter, you know, Peter, he hates losing, so he always have stories after the game.
Yeah, you're talking about traveling so much, like 5 provinces in a week or something like that. You know, I get it, but on the day, you know, there are 2 teams on that pitch. They were playing in the same conditions, and they lost. I think they played each other in that semi-final at Salcom Cup.
That should
be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, look, the conditions also were tough, but they're tough for both sides. And so I remember he did mention the conditions. To be fair, he did also mention it's difficult for Arrows as well.
Yeah.
But it's just a tough. I get the calendar thing. It's very tough for Sundowns, particularly. And I want to bring this up, you know, briefly. The fact that they're playing these CAF Champions League matches, and perhaps we don't give them the respect there this season because we're not even able to watch these matches.
How crazy is that?
You know, like Sundowns fans aren't able to catch CAF Champions Leagues. So what do you make of that? Do you think that there's still all of these issues that we need to sort out? One, in terms of being able to televise those matches, but two, also the calendar.
Yeah, it's as long as I've known the PSL, it's probably the worst, I wouldn't say the worst run league, but it's certainly... It's just not run very well in terms of game management and timing. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't really happen like that in Europe.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course, they're on the, would you call it on the back foot, but then the Champions League, for crying out loud. That's where they want to be.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and that's the pressure that you have when you play for Sundowns. So do you want that pressure? If you do, deal with it. If you don't, then go play for AmaZulu or whatever. Is that easy?
Yeah, and I think you're right, Slu, when you know, with the... You as a league, you should be trying to encourage teams to win the league so that they can play Champions League. But once they're there, you need to modify the fixtures as well so that they can be as competitive as they are in the Champions League, in the league as well.
Sure.
And I think there's always going to be that challenge for any team. It might not be Mamelodi Sundowns winning the league this season, but whoever that does, it's always going to be that challenge where you need to travel back 2 days after landing, you're playing a game again.
Yeah.
You know, and you're playing a team that has been 2 weeks resting without even playing, you know. So I think we need to give a special maybe a treatment to guys, that to teams that are actually playing in the Champions League, because we want also our country to be represented well.
Mm.
But then I think the fixtures as well, they're not favoring anybody that goes to the Champions League. So like you said, it's either if you wanna win the league, then you wanna play Champions League. You must understand that there's gonna be a program that is gonna be crazy. So you need numbers. And Mamelodi Sundowns has numbers. They can actually have 3 teams that can play in NFD, PSL and Champions League at the same damn time.
Yeah.
But then it's
potentially win all 3.
Exactly. Yeah. But now knowing the coach how he is, he always wants to win his games. He always wants to have a certain players on the pitch because it gives him maybe like 80% to 90% chance of winning his game. So that's the challenge. So I think if he can juggle that, if he can actually find ways out to plan around the Champions League and his league games, I think he'll stop complaining about it. Of course, the complaints will always be there, but I think things will be better for Mamelodi Sundowns because now, of course, the traveling is crazy, but then you've got a squad of 50-something players and quality players. So use them.
I think
it's high time that he actually needs to start using the players that he's not using so that he can find the right balance. But of course, finding a right balance, sometimes you need to start afresh. So now, are we saying Mamelodi Sundowns should start afresh because they've got players that haven't been playing in the system? So for them to come in and start playing, which means they must learn the right way of Mamelodi Sundowns playing. So therefore, Mamelodi Sundowns is going to play differently until they adjust to their Mamelodi Sundowns start of play. So that's starting afresh.
Yeah.
So now with the Mamelodi Sundowns caliber, you can't start afresh because the expectations are so high. So that's why he's struggling this much.
But Pizza is also known to sort of play the same players week in and week out, you know.
Of course,
look, as a player, it's good and bad. You know, you obviously want to recover as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of leaves the fringe players on the outside. We've seen a lot of players that have signed for Sundowns that have never really featured, and they're there for 3-4 years.
And they sign a new contract again.
Yeah. You completely forget about them.
You've been warming the bench so well, my sense.
Here's another 4 years.
Just sit cool. there.
Absolutely. We'll see you at the Christmas function.
And now Chiefs also now, I think for the first time this season, we can say that even if Vits win all of their matches in hand, Chiefs are still number one.
Isn't that crazy?
They're 4 games behind still, Vits, but even if they win all their matches, they'll still be 1 point behind Chiefs. And that's also thanks to SuperSport beating them on Friday.
Yeah.
So, you know, quite an interesting league setup, because when do Vits play those matches? And how difficult does it become to coach a team when you're so far behind schedule-wise, you know? Like, I wonder what Gavin's thoughts are to the whole league season, because won't there be a point where now they have to play a bunch of PSL matches in a row just to catch up?
No, exactly. That's the problem with these catch-up games. It happens with Sundowns as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Gavin's got a big task in his hand now, is to try to keep the focus off the table.
Yeah.
You know, right, guys, don't even look at the table.
Yeah.
12 points behind, whatever it is, 10 points behind. We can't even look there.
Mm.
It's each game at a time. It's managing the players. It's rotating the players. It's not going to be easy for Gavin or the squad. And like you said, the loss against SuperSport didn't help them at all.
Yeah, definitely. So let's get into some players abroad. What you got there for us, Sean?
Yeah, so Lebo Motiba was back amongst the goals on Sunday as his team beat Nems. Is that how you say it? Nems? Nemes? Nons?
I'm not French, my friend. Nermes.
Those were his first goals since May, right?
Scored 2 goals, yeah.
Yeah.
Already a fan favorite, and he spotted someone in the crowd with his name on and gave them a signed shirt as well, which is very, very cool. Percy Tau got an assist for his club Bruges in their 2-1 loss to Antwerp. Lars Feldvik got his 4th Eredivisie goal this season, but his team Sparta Rotterdam went down 2-1 to Heerenveen. So he's got 12 games now and 4 goals. Komohelo Mokotjo scored his first goal for Brentford as they beat Wigan Athletic 3-0 in the English Championship.
Very nice. And he's been called up, I think, again to the Bafana squad. So congrats to him. Big ups to him.
Sure.
So I also caught up with Pule Ekstein. We chatted about his time in Azerbaijan, differences in culture, and we actually have a clip over there. Big soy!
I think the difference is that here the football is quick. Everything you do, tamale be quick. If osa be quick, I don't think you're gonna be able to come and play here, because everything is all about one touch or two touch. That's why it's whenever she be the game. In fact, it's difficult to hore ubone motatswa ga bolo bo 3-4 times. So it's one or two touches.
What do you guys think of that one there? Obviously, we don't get Azerbaijan Premier League down here, a multi-choice.
It's tough. I mean, it must be a decent league. There's quite a few big players that have gone there, haven't there?
So, Dino was there too.
Yeah, Dino was there. It's good to see Pule doing well there. You know, he didn't have the best of times at Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes all it needs is a bit of a change, isn't it?
True.
Yeah.
And I also think what he speaks about is it's what football requires these days. You know, it's you to have less touches on the ball.
Mm.
And I think that's what we were taught when we were young. Some of us were taught that less touches on the ball, let the ball will move faster than anybody.
Sure.
So let the ball move.
Mm.
But it just that now, I think it helps him, especially with the kind of player that he was. At Kaizer Chiefs, he focused more on maybe on shibobos and all
dribbling.
The skills, dribbling, being a crowd favorite than being productive. So I think that the way he is right now in terms of the mentality will change him to become a better player, because most South African players, they don't understand that being a crowd favorite doesn't mean that you're a very, very good footballer.
Sure.
If you look at Pirates, Orlando Pirates stats, everybody thought it was a ball juggler. End of the season, when they start reducing their players, they're the first ones to go.
Sure.
Kalinga did a wonderful skill last season, I think. He was the first one to go. We can go back, Tabora Khale, first one to go. Mark Manyambele, we have a list. Once you become a crowd favorite, you're not productive because nobody looks at you like a very productive player. You become a clown.
Yeah.
Which means for us as supporters, we like, it's great.
Yeah.
But now within the team, the coach doesn't want to play that, because that's where football has changed so much. That's why you hardly find a player that is playing six that has to just a destroyer. They used to call him a destroyer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no such now. Now you find you need a good football player that will play as a six that will start the build up. So football has changed.
And Alessio Cassandra.
He's slowly adjusting, actually.
Yeah, he is.
So now, once you're a footballer that doesn't change with what football requires today, then you're stuck to the old ways. You're not going to improve, and the chances are you're not going to play. Players need to improve every single time. And now we're getting to admire the players that are actually playing simple football. You know, they're getting credit now, where you're the Ballon d'Or, the guy that just won the Ballon d'Or now?
Modric.
Modric is not a silky type of player, but he does simple things, but he's very effective. So now players that are very effective that are getting credit, so players also that within the league and the PSL, they need to understand that we all know that southern part of our continent, there's a skillful players, Zambia, Zimbabwe, all they have stuff. But now how many of them they're playing overseas that are very skillful? So you need to understand that, change with what the football is requiring today, play the simplest stuff but be effective, and from there on you can grow and become a better player because of all the players that we watch on TV, international football, whether it's Champions League or whether
simple,
it's simple. Toni Kroos. Practical example, Toni Kroos.
But it's also having the right players around you as well.
Of course.
Who understand you know what
course.
I mean? So it's a different mentality altogether overseas. And I think that's probably what South African soccer lacks.
Yeah.
Is that sort of mentality.
I find it very difficult, and I always get pissed off when people are saying we need to play our South African style. What is our South African style?
What is it? For the crowd?
Nobody has actually came out and said this is our identity, South African style. So I'm still waiting for a person that
can actually.
Yeah, so stop saying that. People must stop saying we must play South African football. We must play according to what the world is saying, because we're influenced by so many people, so many countries and so many nations. Yeah. We need to play according. We watched Champions League last season. We watched Liverpool versus Tottenham. We saw there was nobody juggling the ball there. You saw Ajax in the
semi-final. There's no time.
We saw Ajax. We were like, oh, Ajax is playing so beautiful football. They were passing the ball around. Hey, Moure, come to PSL play.
Yeah.
Don't juggle the ball. You have no time. You want results. That's why coaches are getting fired, because you're busy there rubbing the ball. Play the ball. We want goals. But people are delaying with the ball because they want to juggle. They want to post it on Instagram. They want a video to post it on Instagram that look at what I did to this player.
Yeah, you can't get away with that these days unless you're someone like Dr. Kamala, you know?
Yeah, true.
But his era was different, though. His era was that.
Yeah, exactly.
For the fans. His era was that for the fans.
The game has changed.
The game has changed, guys. We need to change with the game.
Definitely. And I mean, I can agree, because I see with the goals of the season that we talk about these days, it used to be, you know, if you're talking 10 years ago, it would be one player dribbling past five players and then scoring, or a long range effort. Nowadays, it's all of those quick one touch passes.
It
almost looks like they planned it, but they didn't. It's just the awareness and knowing where your teammates are.
True.
So I definitely, you know, I can see that a lot. But you mentioned Doc. We might as well talk about Doc there. He spoke about his time with the international team, and he spoke quite poignantly about, one, his respect for Clive Barker. He actually said that he would take a bullet for him, and most of the 96.
That's big, eh?
Yeah, most of the 96 team would. And then he spoke about the 98 World Cup and the disappointment there. And you know, they had the coach Philippe Trissier there, changed coaches, and he said that he felt victimized and the other players felt victimized, just because he was one of those coaches that likes to put players down. I think he told Willem Jackson, I had a call from Thierry Henry, he said he's going to skin you alive. That's sort of like,
I mean, can you imagine your coach been saying that? I mean, I must say, after this was a very well written article, and seriously gave me goosebumps. You know, there's a lot to, some people can relate to this as well, but just to touch on that the team camaraderie that they had in 96 was, you know, unbelievable. Really, really was. And I was talking to Teko before this, and we were talking about, you don't really get that these days in a team environment, you know. Especially when I was playing, you know, I'm not going to mention the clubs, but if we would lose a game, you'd still have players go out and have the best time of their life. Like, I don't really give a okay, we lost, cool. It's just, it's unfathomable that still happens.
Yeah.
And that certainly wouldn't have happened in the 96 era, for sure.
Yeah. It's I think also with the Doctor's era and the way that he played also going into the World Cup, you know, they changed a lot, especially with what was going through the country as well. You know, they were the number one sport at the time where we actually enjoyed them play. And Doctor was, it still is one of my idols, you know. I can't stop saying that. But it's just that I just wish...
Could he header a ball, though?
Huh?
Could he hit her a ball?
I doubt. Douglas always having Eskel in a car. The ball just, you know. But the thing is, like with I love this article, but my issue is, I wish this kind of things came out earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could have learned so much, especially me as a person that idolizes Doctor. I could have learned so much from his story per se, because I always wanted to know the challenges that he went through, sure, as a player. And for me, when I came into the PSL, I came in blindfolded. I had to learn as I go. And sometimes I made so many bad decisions, but because of people that I actually looked up to, they never said anything about the challenges that they faced.
Mm.
So now, here's the story that comes out 20-something years ago. This is what happened in 1998, where he says he felt like he was victimized and all that type of stuff. So now, if I read this when I was coming in, I would know, because I also was one of the players that was victimized.
Could have changed your career, football.
You know, I remember also I was booed by 60,000, you know, in a derby where I'm booed by Kaiser Chiefs fan and Orlando Pirates fan, but I'm playing for Orlando Pirates. So if I had to read about this before, then I'll actually understand what he went through, how he dealt with it. Probably also I would have had an idea how to deal with such issues.
But so now, why are not big ex names or big ex players coming and telling their story?
Exactly.
What is it? It's
exactly, and they've got, hey, my friend,
people
want
to learn.
The stories are with so much juice, dude. You know, there's so much knowledge in that, and then they're keeping that knowledge with them. And that's my only problem with ex footballers, especially the ones that have changed South African football. You know, they need to come out and tell their stories. We don't have to actually listen to the sob stories all the time. Like, we need to hear about success stories. There's a lot of success stories, and South Africans, I always say that we don't praise our own enough. But I also realize that our own enough success stories, people don't want to come out and share them.
Yes.
And then now it becomes a problem. But I'm glad that Doctor actually came out and said this, because this is one of the things that I've been looking for, especially from Doctor's Khabib. I just hope that this will open up, you know, for other guys as well that
absolutely
actually play.
Yeah.
Not only 96 players, you know, there's players that came after Doctor, you know, like your, what is the Tiki Tiki's name? You don't know Tiki Tiki, Chief. You're still young. Tabu Moki. You know, there's Tabu Moki.
Yeah.
You know, there's. We need to let from who's this guy that was in Zimbabwe? Well, Robson Muchichwa.
Yeah.
To actually tell the foreign guys that are playing in the country, what is it that he did for him to play that long at Kaizer Chiefs? Those are the kind of things people need to know. We need to know all those stories, you know. And it's just that it's not happening enough. And then and now we're always going to find players that also learn as they go and becomes tougher and tougher. We need to break this generational curse where if Gabuz actually, for instance, if also I had to come out with my story earlier about being a bull boy, probably maybe Gabuza would have handled that situation differently as well. But I'm from an era where nobody speaks about their issues. You know, so I had to
feel judged if you do.
Yeah, I had to break that circle. I'm like, I need to speak about my issue because I can't be containing this information on my own. It doesn't help me. I need to educate other people. That's the reason why I wrote the book. And I just wish that I did that earlier before the incident of Gabuza. I'm sure that he could have handled the situation different. But now nobody speaks about it. So now if it happens to another person, they need to know how to handle that issue very well. And also we need to also educate our fans as well. That they're paying $20 to come and watch the game. During the week, they've got stuff to do. They're either going to work or by partner, they're doing whatever they do. It's our career, it's our job.
Sure.
We're not going in there into the pitch with intentions to play bad or to make the team lose.
Yeah, so
it's our career. Yeah. It's our contracts are online.
Bread and butter.
They need to understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then we're in a position to educate those people. So it's better if we educate them so that they understand that booing anybody doesn't help anything.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very informative, this. I mean, he comes up with some great advice, or, you know, he says stuff like, you know, it's very important to choose the people you hang around with. You know, he calls it choosing your tribe, I think he says. And that's something I've been living by for the past X amount of years. And, you know, people you hang around with really mold who you become, or people perceive you to be as well, which is a problem.
Yeah.
Also, he says, till this day, I can't tell you what a drug tastes like. You know, I mean, hopefully no footballers have taken drugs anyway, but it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That's good advice.
Of course.
And something that Gary Bailey once told me, I'll never forget it. He said, football is not a career. It's an opportunity. An opportunity usually for something else and possibly something better post-football, if you know what I mean. And I think that's the message what Docs are trying to sell you as well, is that football's just a platform, and then it can really propel you into life after football, like we're doing now.
Of course. Also to add on what you're saying, there's a reason why Doctor is still relevant even today after he retired so many years. You know, and like he said, now he chooses the people that he hangs around with.
Yeah.
Young footballers that are playing right now, they need to understand that. They need to understand one thing, that after football, you know, the only thing that can actually bring an income in your life, if not business, is your brand, and your brand, it's you. So the way you carry yourself, it actually means a lot. It'll actually work for you after you're playing. But not many players understand that, or not that they don't understand that, they don't want to listen to it, because they think they'll never get to a point where they need to
retire. They think they're untouchable. All it takes is one bad tackle.
Chief.
At the end of your career.
Yeah.
Or at the end of your contract. Yeah. No one's going to sign you again.
Yeah, true.
Definitely. That's a problem.
So I want to get into some on this day stuff. So on this day in history, for those listening, on this day in 1964, Ajax soccer star Johan Cruyff made his debut as a professional footballer against GVAV.
He's not a soccer star, Chief.
He's a legend.
Please correct yourself.
One of the greatest.
One of the greatest. Soccer star. Come on.
Check yourself.
Hey, check yourself.
Yeah, no, let me add the respect. Three-time Ballon d'Or winner, if I'm not mistaken. And he was part of that kind of renaissance of Dutch football.
Yes.
You know, just like the style of play that we still look back to. A lot of teams still try to emulate.
Yeah.
He was central to that. And so, you know, big ups. It's a huge milestone. How many years ago is 1964?
How's your math?
It's before. 40, 50, how's my math? 50,
55
years. 55
years. See, ago. People with mathematics.
Seko, get very quiet there. He actually switched his microphone off there. Simon, where were you?
Mathematics and me and a friend.
Hello, Simon.
Yo, it only took 36 minutes to introduce me. Thanks, guys. You know, sound engineers, it can only count one.
Did you work
two.
It?
Yeah.
One,
two.
Yeah,
two.
Yeah. Mic check.
Yeah, yeah. Let me put Simon on the spot. What's your favorite Cruyff goal?
Come on.
Why would you do that? What's Cruyff's first name?
Johan.
Okay.
Johan.
You had to say it. And also today is Patrick Mboma's birthday. For those of you who don't know, before Samuel Eto'o was Cameroon's all-time leading goal scorer, it was Patrick Mboma, legendary Cameroonian figure. So happy birthday to him.
The big giant.
Big giant, yes.
It was Roger Fatumba. Remember Roger Fatumba?
Yeah, oh. but he wasn't big in Cameroon though.
Nuts, eh?
Nah, he was big in South Africa. Yeah. Not only Sundowns, he was big. But in Cameroon, in Boma, your Eto's, Song, even Song was big. Mm. You know?
Fatumba was at Sundowns, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Big guy.
He's the first guy at Mamelodi Sundowns, a proper number 10. A player to wear a proper
he was a monster, eh?
Yeah, after that Mamelodi Sundowns struggled with having one player actually to do the stuff that he was doing. But he was great, man.
He was.
Him and Chukwu there.
Proper, eh?
Rafael Chukwu.
What a player.
No. Mamelodi Sundowns there, nah. They were great.
What a player.
Proper. So, I did my starter pack this week with Thabo Mnyamane. He discussed his first career goals and also switching teams. We have the clip there.
My first
goal! It was in 2014. I came in as a sub on the 85th minute, and it was a free kick. And then I remember the captain of Sharks at the time, Debo Homonyai, told everyone to leave the free kick for me, and I was actually shocked because he has never seen me take a free kick before, but for everyone to stop. And I remember very well, just against Maritzburg, we played on a Wednesday night, and the keeper at the time was Jai Walters. So I hit a bang of a free kick on the 87th minute, first touch. And yeah, I still remember it till this day.
My first favorite team.
It was Kaizer Chiefs. My father supports Kaizer Chiefs. My father used to support Kaizer Chiefs, let me put it like that. My mother used to support Orlando Pirates, so I went with my father. So I used to support Kaizer Chiefs.
Wait. What? Did your father switch teams?
Of course, he goes with me wherever I go.
I love Slew's little personas in our different shows.
Right?
Players abroad, he's the airline captain.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I want people to get confused at some point and be like, is this Slew? Like, who's this guy now?
Man of many masks.
But how's that? First career goal, the captain just says, hey, no. The boy's going to take it this time.
Yeah. He's a hell of a talent. Eh? He's been very unlucky with injuries. He's still at SuperSport now, and I wish him all the best for the future. But he's a hell of a nice guy as well.
Yeah, yeah. First, can you imagine your captain ever doing that? The captain has never seen you take a free kick, but he just says, hey, crunch time, it's you, Dex.
Yeah, but also they were playing for Tax, eh? It's just tax, my friend. It wasn't like Orlando Pirates. It was just tax. So let's get it clear. But one thing I like is Teboho. I knew Teboho, mm-hmm. The captain at the time. He's a good fella, and he was always welcoming to the younger ones. You know, wherever I spoke to Teboho, he always appreciated the younger ones. Even though at the time I think I was still at Sundowns, but we'll have a chat about it because I know him from playing at the Moroccan finals when he got that bad injury and he struggled to recover from it because he was always limping, but he played the game. But then for him to actually do that to the youngster like Munyaman, it's very great, yeah. You know, and because when we came into the game, we had captains that were way older. Anything has to happen, it's senior guys. Sure. So it was, we never had a chance as a young boy to actually be, to even take a throw in. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Get off, yeah.
What?
That's changed now.
Since when are you taking to throw ins, you know? So, yeah. Something like that. But for Teboho to do that, stop.
So. Yeah, yeah. And I hope we do that more with the younger players, you know, like I'm busy seeing in Europe now this, all of these young kids coming up, you know, at Barca, there's Ansu Fati, you know, in England, so many youngsters in the starting lineups for Chelsea. Lampard has put a lot of trust in
Liverpool, especially as well.
Yeah.
You know, and even here, I mean, you've got someone like Njibulu Blom at Chiefs, who's going to be one of the greats, I believe, in the future. And it's starting to happen.
Yeah. And I just want to thank also Ajax Amsterdam for leading the pack, you know, Benfica also for leading the pack, especially in those big Champions League games, to play the 16-year-old easy.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the football is going right now. So all the youngsters that are very talented, whether they're 16 or 17, this is your time actually, and this has never happened in the previous. So this is their time if they're good, but also takes also as well with the coaches as well. You know, sometimes there's coaches that don't believe in youngsters, they believe in maturity. So
and always the mature players are sort of the go-to safe guys.
Of course.
Definitely. So you did 10 quick fire questions this week.
I did, with Mr. Riyad Pedersen.
Nice. We have that
the goalkeeper.
Cool, man. You ready for the 10 quick questions?
You said 5.
I said 10. You misheard me.
Okay, just straight out the gate.
Okay? You ready?
Yeah.
Right. The funniest guy in the PSL you've played with?
That I've played with, funniest guy, Themba Zwane.
Okay. Flashiest dresser?
I'd say Bernard Parker.
Worst dressed?
Sure, there's a few.
There's a few. There's quite a few, eh?
There is quite a few. I'd say Itumelengune.
Yay!
We did that last week on our podcast. That's bizarre. Your worst mistake in a match?
Worst mistake in a match would be my debut for Sundowns against AmaZulu.
What happened?
They had a free kick. I then shouted for the ball, and the defender left it. So basically, I looked clumsy in the whole event of it. So yeah, I think that was the worst mistake.
Okay. Teammate who thinks he's funny, but he's actually not.
Lyle Kay.
The loudest player you've played with?
Andile Jali.
Your best footballing memory?
Winning the league.
For?
Sure. Does that really matter for who? Because now I'm going to sound like Neymar, and I don't want to do that.
Okay, just trying to make conversation here, Butch, but no problem. Your favorite car?
One that I like, or one that I'm able to afford?
Riyad, you're making this very difficult. Your favorite
Favorite car would be a Bentley.
Here we go. And your favorite local food?
Chicken and pasta.
Nice. It sounds more Italian to me, but anyway, it's fine. And your favorite holiday destination?
Zanzibar.
Nice.
I haven't been there, but
what? Oh, boy.
So worried about you, eh?
Oh, my
God. Okay, my brother, thanks for your time. Enjoy, Jim. We'll chat soon.
Okay, cool. Have a good one.
Shop.
After a couple episodes, I'm just going to make a reel of all the people saying such and such place, but I've never been there.
It's unbelievable, hey.
The trend now, eh?
Too funny. We started something. Yeah. Hashtag never been.
I can't imagine like just looking at a place online and being like, that's my favorite place.
Yeah. I've never been. Yeah.
But Teko celebrating the worst dressed, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like that one?
Because it's true, man. Because I don't want people to think that I'm hating on the boy, and I'm not. I love it, but it's true.
Get that man a wardrobe.
It's true. I think we have to interview him one day. Yeah, I'll speak to him. You need to do this question.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I just hope that he'll say the word dressed, it's me.
Yeah. Icing on the cake.
100%.
Tekka, yeah. Where's your favorite destination you've never been?
I've never been. It's Greece.
Greece.
I've never been there. What do they call it?
Santorini.
Santorini.
Yeah, I've never been there.
I'm planning on going there next year.
I want to go there next year.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. My wife told me it's beautiful. So
apparently, like tourism shot up so much because of how popular it is on Instagram that now you have to really choose the right time to go. Otherwise, it's just too many people.
Oh, yeah. It's like most beautiful places, eh?
Yeah.
We're destroying it.
Yeah. It becomes Durban Beach. It's just like, hey, man.
Do people still go there?
Yeah, it gets packed. Looks like a soccer crowd actually. Yeah, sometimes.
People go to Durban, especially black people. When they go to Durban Beach, they're saying they're going there to take the water and their sand.
The 2 liters.
Yeah, the 2 liters there, and they saying no, we go in there to actually leave our bed lugs there. So we go in there to actually take their bed lugs. no ways. I'm not gonna go there. I would never go to that beach.
Oh man, that's funny.
Brilliant. So we've got Premier League top 3 games from the past weekend. Man.
Ish. I'm humbled.
That was a lot, eh?
Very humbled.
So I've got the scores there. Leicester Arsenal. Tex and Slew got that one right. Sean, you predicted a draw.
Yeah, go for a draw.
You went for a draw.
You first said Leicester win, but then you changed your mind.
Yeah, and you changed your mind after I, the Arsenal fan, hated on my own team. Then you were suddenly like, you know, you never know. Yeah.
Okay. You don't know Vardy, ne? You don't know Jamie Vardy.
And he came for
I know. My man.
Top goal scorer now.
Manu Brighton, Sean and Slew got it right. Manu win.
Tex
went for a draw.
Wow. Check on Medisa.
I don't trust Menu. Wrong. I don't trust Menu.
But then, Liverpool Man City.
We all
sure. None of you. Now, I'm not a stats guy, but I had to go dig some things up because I thought, how could it be possible that all three of you got this wrong? It may seem like Man City is doing well, start of the season. Yeah. But if you take the top five places last season and the current top five in the table this season, if you exclude Man City and Liverpool, you have Chelsea, Tottenham, Arsenal, Man U, Leicester and Sheffield, right? Of those teams, Liverpool have played 6 of them and they only drew to Man U. Of those teams, Man City have only played 2 of them and they drew to Tottenham, right? And also, they lost to Norwich, who are stone lost.
I know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we know.
So that's if you look the at thing, the form in the league leading up to this match, why would you think that Man City had this?
Liverpool at the moment are just... phenomenal, eh?
Yeah, that's
helpful. So consistent.
Yeah, they are.
It's very concerning as a City fan, but look, I'd rather have Liverpool win than Man United, put it that way.
Man United will never win anything. They'll win all this off-season tournament, your Maze Cup and all that stuff.
The Iwisa Super Cup.
What's that one in Bloemfontein? Makufi.
That was the worst there.
Yeah, oh my god,
that was the worst.
Yeah, no, but Liverpool just on fire. I don't know who's gonna stop them.
Sure.
It's great for football. I just wish that they could continue. You know, we know how Liverpool is, might drop it off. You remember the last time they were supposed to win the league with Gerrard's story? Mm. I just hope that will not come back and haunt them because it will justify them winning the Champions League, actually. You know, it'll be great. It'll be actually good for Pep as well to look at himself, maybe try to change certain things. But also, Klopp is a great coach.
Yeah,
he's amazing. He's got a great team. Liverpool.
He's in Cape Town, actually.
I saw he had a picture with Sia.
Yeah, with Sia.
Sia now is... more or less equivalent to Mandela in terms of fame. I see you, see ya. No. See you, dog.
Nelson Colisi, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, what I found remarkable about the game is, you know, I saw Pep was very animated on the touchline. Yeah. There were a couple of decisions, maybe you could say. I don't think you could say that Man City would have won if those decisions went their way.
Well, one was certainly a penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, one was a handball for sure.
And the VAR, we're going to talk about next week.
But, yes.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, maybe with that penalty given, it changes the game.
Mm.
You know, that's what you need. You're always looking for that goal that actually changes the game. So he probably felt like if that was given and they scored the penalty, it would have changed the game. But now we cannot say that there's any coach that is happy with the VAR except for the ones in South Africa. They're wearing yellow.
South Africa.
They're wearing yellow. They're enjoying the referees.
Yeah, the ones in what? Yellow and black, but yeah, not the other ones. Yeah. Not the ones in the heat.
They're without insurance.
And one big issue from that game that actually had some after effects was the Raheem Sterling and Joe Gomez moment where they got in each other's faces. And then again, they join each other at the England camp.
Mm.
And now, I didn't know the story immediately, but now we know that what happened was Joe Gomez goes over to greet Raheem Sterling. We don't know if he was doing it just to be, you know, just to be spicy, but he goes over to try and shake Raheem Sterling's hand. They have a bit of a war of words, and then Sterling ends up with his hand around Gomez's throat.
Yeah.
And then Sterling gets sent home, you know?
Yeah.
What do you guys make of that?
No, I think it could have been handled a lot better from an England management point of view. I really do. Mm-hmm. You know, you're around guys all your life, 30, 40 guys every single day. Of course there's going to be issues.
Mm.
And of course, sometimes there's issues carry into the national team. But to put him in the spotlight and sort of, I think Rio Ferdinand said it best. He said, I just feel this could and should have been handled better to support the player and not hang him out to dry.
Mm.
One of our world-class players who has conducted himself wonderfully through racism and unwarranted criticism in an England shirt will now come under more scrutiny and be vilified in the media, no doubt, when this could have been dealt with internally. Yeah. Hindsight is a great thing there.
Yeah.
So, I don't agree with how it's been handled. He's one of the better players in the Premier League at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he maybe is owed a bit more respect than that.
But also, like for a coach, it becomes very, very difficult because now your biggest thing is to always have that camaraderie within the team and to keep the team spirit going. So these are one of the big decisions that he had to make.
Mm.
And whether he solved it internally or Sterling needs to go home or suspend him, whatever the case might be, obviously. And I think as a coach, you could have taken responsibility and, you know, try and solve this issue, you know, behind closed doors and all this stuff.
Yeah. I agree.
But then again, it's whether you want to condone it by doing that, probably maybe you are condoning Sterling's behavior. Because like his fight is he doesn't want to bring all the rivalry into the national team.
Sure.
But then forgetting that he played the game as well. He forgetting that this is a sport that is emotions are very involved. And but for the fact that he didn't send him home. They just suspended him for this game, which they're playing today actually.
Montenegro,
So for the fact that he's still there, you know, it says a lot. And of course he's the better player right now.
Mm.
But it just that it's one of those things that we could have handled properly. And like you said, I don't believe that he handled this issue situation.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come and bite him in the ass, you know.
Of course.
Because that's the thing.
They don't lose to Montenegro.
Yeah, because I had the thought that Liverpool are going to face City again in the league later in the season. And we have to remember that Euro 2020 is next year. So towards the end of the season, like how do they handle it then? Say there's another bust up in the because then it'll be the title race coming to an end. It'll be even more emotions in that game. So how do they make sure that Joe Gomez and Raheem Sterling, because they want both for Euro 2020, that they don't
look,
have the same.
I think after this week it's done and dusted.
I think
it's handshakes, it's high fives, it's maybe a laugh, have a beer, get over it. But obviously emotions were too high come Monday, Tuesday, still from the fresh game on Saturday or Sunday, whenever it was. I think it'll be done. I don't think it's anything to worry about, Slew, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
Definitely. So, do we have a car of the week?
We've got a car of the week. I've gone for Bradley Krobler this week. If you check him out on Instagram, at Bradley Krobler, he's got a beautiful Jeep Wrangler, all modified, done up. So if you go have a look at that and then let us know your thoughts.
Definitely. Jeep Wrangler is one of my favorite 4x4s. That and the what's the Mercedes one? The new
GL.
One. Yeah, the kind of box shape.
It's beautiful, hey?
Really
the
like
Jeep's
those.
It's not very practical,
the box
though.
One is G63.
I think it's the
G63. Yeah.
Thanks, Teko.
No, that's my favorite car. That's
it's beautiful, hey?
Great
if
car.
I can afford it, I would.
Oof. One day.
One day, my friend.
One day.
Once the sponsor.
When this podcast gets gets international. One day, brother.
So
our motivational quotes of the week comes from none other. Or you can guess. Stay focused. Remain calm, dress good, smell good, no matter the occasion. You'll never know who's watching. Inspiration goes a long way. From none other than Teko Modise.
Me?
Yes, sir.
My man's even forgot.
Now I'm seeing naked pictures.
Don't swipe right.
Oh, man.
That's my fan page.
There we go.
Yeah, that's my fan
page. It's a goodie, though. I like it.
Yeah. And the funny part is, I don't even know the guy that actually runs this page. And it probably has like more than 50,000 followers.
Oh, so you're not actually involved in that?
No, I'm not. Oh. And sometimes you get the pictures that I don't even have.
Mm, wow.
But for the fact that he's not malicious and all that stuff, so I didn't stop him from doing that. No, I never met the guy. It'll be great one day if I meet the person that actually does that. Maybe give him my jersey or something like that, because he's a true fan.
Oh,
like
now you've got a jersey, but you don't have one for the studio.
No, I'm saying I can make a plan. If he's a footballer, I can give him boots.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought he was just talking about the one off his back. Like.
Yeah.
No, I don't have any. But it would be great actually to meet him one day, because he's been doing a great job.
Well, let's try make it happen, eh? For sure.
That would be so dope.
Fantastic. And that is how we wrap up the show. Great one. We are in an international break, so we have no PSL action this weekend to cover. It'll be interesting next week when we're able to review Bafana's performances. Yep. Best of luck to them in the AFCON qualifiers. And that's how we wrap up the show. I have been Slu Paho.
And I've been Slu Pahos.
Have a fantastic weekend.
Show.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.